I have some very general remarks. I was reminded to say them. Sometimes I say them at the beginning of the year, but I'll just say them now very quickly. First of all, everybody should do Seder in the Beis Medrash every day of the week. Show up, be there with your Chavrusa, talk with your Chaverim, very important. We're going to start taking attendance at exactly 9 o'clock and punch in at 9 o'clock, punch out at 12:10 or else you fail college. Yeah. We're not going to take attendance, but I encourage you all to be in the Beis Medrash consistently with your Chavrusa and to help enhance the culture of learning, especially for this year. Second of all, I'm going to make a general remark about shiur. I conduct the shiur more as a chavura and seminar than a lecture. It's hard to justify lectures in the 21st century. But the thought is we all walk in here prepared with a good sense of what the Mekoros are saying, and that by carefully scrutinizing the Mekoros and the ideas that they convey, we together will build a coherent and compelling picture of the main ideas of Yerushim and Halakha. So I encourage everybody to contribute to the discussion, but you're reminded that before you contribute, remember that your contribution should be something that justifies all your peers having to listen to. So just bear that in mind. I love the contribution. It's the reason why I'm here most of the time. So definitely talk up, ask questions. But just keep in mind that the purpose is to contribute and enhance our understanding of the ideas and the sugya. Sound good? Good. I had one other thing to say, I think. The Mekoros sheet is meant as a good tool to get us thinking about some of the central Mekoros in the Sigya, but don't think of the Mekoros sheet as the end of the Sigya. I think it's what organizes our discussion in Shir, but you should definitely feel free and you're encouraged to look around elsewhere in the Sigya. Look at what the other Rishonim saying that didn't make it onto the source sheet. We started in Siman Kufiyut Tes. What else is in Siman Kufiyut Tes? Look around that whole Siman. See what the Mefarshim are saying there. Look at the tour. Look at the Rambam. So definitely use the Mekoros sheet as the launching pad and as the, I guess, the central core of thinking about the Sigya. But it's really just that. It doesn't exhaust the Sigya itself. So you know, if you prepare all the Mekoros, look around to see what else is out there. And if they're really good, they can become part of the core of the Sigya. Like this Torah's Mimo. No, it's not. It's on the, well, some things are on the Mekoros sheet, even if they're not really part of the core of the Sigya. When they're interesting and they have something important to add. So you could think of Shir as the beginning, or at least the core of our analysis of the Sigya, but don't think of it as the end of your comprehension or analysis of the Sigya. You should think of Romy's Chazar Shir. No, even those are not the end of the Sigya. And probably anything you study this year won't be the end of your analysis of the Sigya. Just goes on and on and on. Thoughts or comments on that? Well, just before you comment, remember everyone's listening and it has to justify their paying attention to. Do you still want to say it, Josh?
I disagree
with what
you said.
You what?
You said thoughts and everyone else was silent, so I wanted to, on behalf of my
Got it.
Voice, my assent.
Got it. Thank you. Josh?
I don't know if this justifies speaking up. I was going to ask if you're going to grade our comments so that we know whether or not we're like...
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, just ask me for feedback. And I'll tell you, check plus, spot, check minus. Well?
Did you grade them on the spot, on the board?
Yeah. Instant feedback. Okay, so I wanted to just say something about the Torah Tumima here. Very strange Torah Tumima. You know, the Rav didn't like the Torah Tumima, apparently. So he said a lot of strange things, because he says that Choshech was an eye disease. So I guess that incurred the wrath of the Rav. Torah Tumima says strange things.
Here, he does say something very intriguing, even if it's a bit strange.
Yeah, I think it even sounds like apologetics, a little bit, but let's see what he says. I put this on page 22 of the source sheet. Belonging to the discussion of Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, or Beis Akiva about the level, what justifies initiating a divorce. And the Torah Tumah here says, "Uvechlal tzarachin bedas Beis Hillel or Beis Akiva." I think Ty put this on the WhatsApp discussion. Ki hayitachin shetiyena benos Yisrael mizulzalos kol kach ad shemipnei kol davar kali yerashai baila legarsha bal karcha. Just seems to, when you have such a low threshold for justifying divorce, it seems to demean Jewish women, right? That's the thought here. So what's the answer? You might say, well, I don't know, why does a threshold for divorce demean Jewish women? Maybe that's like the Torah doesn't think marriage is all that important. I mean, the Pina Fest, right? Your marriage is just the wife's the Kli Chemda for the husband, so the husband could cast her out whenever he wants. You could have gone in that direction, right? But I guess the Torah Tumah's intuition is maybe the Pina himself is demeaning the Benos Yisrael. But you could have a chinuch-like rationale without leaning into the chinuch's exact formulation of it. Right? You could say, well, maybe the Torah doesn't care about permanent marriages so much. So long as you have a kibbutz kedusha, that's good. Write a get, then you're done. But like the Torah doesn't want to... Torah has no invested interest in sustaining unions over time. Once one party wants to get out. The Torah Tumah doesn't like that. So he says, V'nira. D'dinim elu d'beis hillel d'rabbi Akiva nitkenu b'ikaran l'tovasan u'lizchusan u'kvodan shel benos Yisrael. Why? Kim hayam igra din shein rasha negarish acharak mishem erbas davar az afilim girsha mishum siba acheres shebeino leveina shein ba mishum gnai v'chisar la hayu omrim ha'olam shebnei erbas davar girsha Bim Kane, Hayasani Shum Anna, Lo Haisa Yecholali Nase Or. Masha Ain Kane, Im Gam Efshar Shetiskai Shum Ne Sibos, Shona Shain Megano Sosa. So, what's his thought here? What's the argument, Kobe?
The fact that he can voice for whatever reason is like the Tova of the Shah, because if it was only for Gaia, but if she got voice, everyone would know, like, oh, like, there's something wrong with you. I know we're going to be married. Maybe she's going to be married.
Right, so the thought is that if the only grounds for divorce in halacha were Beis Shammai, then any woman who got divorced, the halacha, people would say, whoa, there must have been some infidelity. And that would be really harmful to the woman. She wouldn't be able to get remarried. Therefore, argues the Torah Tumima, the halacha lowers the threshold, at least Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva are willing to lower the threshold, so that there would be other grounds for divorce, so that divorce itself is not stigmatized. That's the theory, right? Zakaria, right? Just want to point out, before we take issue with this, what's he doing?
It's finding the middle ground between, you don't want a too low threshold of divorce, but at the same time, you don't want a too high threshold of divorce.
No, I don't think he's doing that. What's he doing? Romy, I'm asking you for a reason. Because you're suspicious of this.
Instrumentalized.
Yeah, great, that's exactly what I was thinking. He's really instrumentalizing the threshold for divorce as serving the purpose of something outside of it. because you have issues with this in general, right? But that is what the Tartum was doing, right? He's saying, look, this has nothing to do with divorce itself. Right? It's not about, they're not arguing about anything intrinsic to when is a marriage broken down or what just, it's solely, like for, I'm going to use, you know, some phrase of within Hilchos Deos, unrelated to the marriage even, unrelated to the relationship between these, it's like Lo Selech Rachel Ba Mecha type concern. Right? We don't want people bad-mouthing divorced women. So the halacha gives a range of justifications, even benign justifications. So Rumi has this ongoing concern about whether it's allowable for the halacha to have dinim in one area that really serve the end of dinim in another area, right? But the Torah team was doing that here, correct? I, of course, have no problem with it. Because it happens all the time. No, it does happen all the time.
I agree also with that all the time.
You're still troubled by it.
That's why I'm troubled by it.
So yeah, I think that's right. This leads into some sort of instrumentalization. Right, see, that's an important point. Now, I actually don't think it's so coherent because I think it's non-controversial that you could have consensual divorces that don't need to be justified. We saw that in the Shulchan Aruch and Kufiyat Tes.
He said it himself.
Well,
he
himself. Yeah, because Bal Karcha, there's the problem, right?
Yeah.
So it's just peculiar, right? Because now if the halacha requires no justification when both parties want to get divorced, so then why would there be a stigma? I guess the answer is people know when it's consensual divorce and when it's unilateral divorce. Josh, that are you going to say?
Wait, two things. First of all, is that true? Meaning, I thought that was only once like Rabbi Gershon came around, but just as far as the Gemara was concerned, meaning I thought that Gemara was talking about a case like where we don't care whether she has consent or not. That the guy can only divorce her in those.
No, the Akudas theory is that if the wife is maskemes or maskima to the divorce, then you don't need Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, or Beis Akiva.
Everyone agrees to that? I thought that was just like a theory out there. I thought the Gemara and like its Pashut sense meant.
The Torah Shvim himself seems to agree to it because he says, Achame kol kach davar kal ye rashai baila garsha bal karcha. Doesn't even sound like he's dealing with Gershon with her Ratzon. Fine, you want to say that he's in disagreement? He's on the view that you can't, even with the wife's consent, you need stronger justification? I think it's a chiddush.
Okay.
It's like contrary to the doctrinal view of the Shulchan Aruch, but I guess.
The Shulchan Aruch likes kind of Ben Gershon, no? Okay, I don't know.
Right, but this is nothing, what does that do with Takanos Ben Gershon? Takanos Ben Gershon is that you can't divorce a woman Bal Karcha.
Right, and then we start talking about, oh, is that even true in the case of Erevat Dabar? Like, meaning, but I thought.
No.
Okay.
Rabbi Gershon says you can't divorce a woman Bal Karcha. That's his.
Right.
But what does that have to do with the question of when you have her consent, does Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, or Rabbi Akiva apply? That's what the Aguda is about. That's right. what that Simon and Shulchan Aruch is about. Right. Romy, you had a comment on this?
Yeah, it's also not...
Check minus, Josh. I'm kidding.
It's also not such a strong reading because it doesn't explain why there'd be two shittas. Why would we need
Beis Hillel
and
the Rabbi Akiva? Right, why do you need so many...
The point is, like, okay, once we know it's not necessarily Rav Dabar, so fine.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you could explain it, but just make sure Rabbi Akiva is very,
You don't want to take on the issue of Rabbi Akiva.
Anything.
We don't want people
like,
to know
I'm saying.
Right. Possibly. But, you know, it's very interesting. It's fascinating to see everyone struggle with Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva also, right? And he offers an interesting theory. Sorry, you had a comment about this on the WhatsApp, right?
Yeah, and he seems to be saying that fundamentally every reason Beis Shammai in terms of like wrongness of Gershon.
Right, but then there's this instrumentalized thing to help...
Right, it's not obviously that should override that.
So Beis Shammai is right at the Hilchos Gershon level.
After you explain.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a further consequence. It's like, fundamentally, Beis Shammai got it right. Like, what justifies breaking apart a marriage? Only Erevas Davar. That creates untoward social ramifications. Because now we stigmatize these divorced women. And also then, you know, Hillel and Rabbi Akiva come along to help out. Great. I wanted to make one other, so that's, you know, you could think of this as a downstream effect of the standards for divorce. Coming back to our Freakonomics example from Sunday, right? If you make divorce permissible only under conditions of Erev HaShavuot, then you have these effect. The effect is, what about remarrying? And the thought is, or any woman who gets divorced now is going to be stigmatized with Erev HaShavuot. That's bad. So then that has to be remedied, and that's the Tartimus theory for Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva. So we see that. Okay, so that's just 2 points within this first mima. One about the instrumentalization, that's Romy's concern, and then also a downstream effect of the rule for divorce. Last year we saw another example of a downstream effect. What was that? The Yushalmi at the end of Gittin. Yeah, the Yushalmi about Nida, that what you hold for the grounds for divorce will determine whether it's permissible for a woman who is Asura Labaila during the duration of Nida to adorn herself or beautify herself with makeup. Correct? Because if you have such a low threshold for divorce, like Rabbi Akiva, or maybe even Beis Hillel, according to the Yushalmi, then you have to worry within the marriage about cure, right? If the woman's not loved or beautiful to her husband. Whereas, if you hold like Beis Shammai, that the only thing that justifies divorce is Erev HaShavuot, then you don't have to worry about that within the marriage, because the marriage is so resilient, it'll withstand even moments where the woman is considered mechuares to her husband. Good? Does that ring familiar? Does it ring familiar to everybody who wasn't here on Sunday? Yeah? Okay. Another downstream effect of the standards for divorce is 11th hour addition to the Makoro sheet. But it was on the WhatsApp for a long time. Downstream effect about the standard for divorce. Anyone? So we have two up there. Come on, somebody. So on page 26, I opened a little section here of downstream effects. I don't have a Torah Tzmima there yet, but the Hilchos Nida. And then Hilchos Sota Vekinoi. On page 26. So, what's the issue here? What is kinui? Mekani Elisha? Yeah, the husband being jealous or warning his wife not to be secluded with somebody, right? So the Mishnah in Sota talks about a Mekan Elishto, and the Yushalmi there has two deos. That's the Yushalmi here in Sota Aleph Aleph. They have it on the top of 27. About whether Kinoi, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, B'Shem Rabbi Lezer, Chova. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Rishus. So let's say a husband is jealous, or he suspects his wife of being too close with someone else. So is it an obligation, or is it merely a license to initiate the sota process? Because sota has to start with mekan elishto. The husband warns her not to be secluded. So is that a good thing? Is it an obligation? Or is it just a license? The Torah gives the husband this power to commence the process, but it's at his discretion whether he wants that. Feldian terms, we say, is it a duty or a power? Just a license. Anyways. What does this depend on? So the Yushalmi tells us, Faryon, that what? Rabbi Lezer ben Rabbi Yossi, kun Rabbi Yossi, asye der Rabbi Lezer kebe Shammai, o Rabbi Yeshua kebe Hillel. This machlokas aligns with the machlokas be Shammai and be Hillel in the end of Daf Tzadi, meaning this machlokas is a downstream effect of our Mishnah. Why is it dependent on our Mishnah? Ned, do you know? If you were here on Sunday, would you have known? No, we didn't cover this on Sunday. It's not related. So the Yerushalmi says, why is this? Ready, follow the analysis of the Yerushalmi. Zecharia, tell us what's the Yerushalmi's conclusion.
Yeah, so according to Beit Shammai, he found some suspicious behavior from his wife. It's not a good situation. However, it's not yet reached the threshold for Beit Shammai for grounds for divorce. Therefore, he has a chova to do kinoi so that he can move the process along to decide one way or the other whether there actually is an error or stubborn here.
Right. The thought is the husband suspects his wife of infidelity. He can't, putting aside our Yerushalmi's reading of Beit Shammai, but assume that you need like absolute proof of it to commence a divorce according to Beit Shammai. The husband's stuck. He's upset with his wife, but he can't commence a divorce because he doesn't have enough evidence to justify Gerushin. So that's why the Gemara says, oh, when you're in this limbo, Kinui is a chova. Because it's the only way to either resolve or remove the tension. The Meisota will either clear her or condemn her. Right? Because the husband's stuck. He can't divorce her yet, but he's really suspicious of her activities. According to Beis Hillel, the husband's never stuck. Why is he not stuck?
Because he doesn't need grounds of Erebas Davar to justify divorce, right? Would you have Yeshua ki Beis Hillel that it's Rishus? The Beis Hillel Amri Afilu Kticha Tavshila. The Fum Kenu Amar Rishus. Rotsa Lakano Zikane. Rotsa Lagarish. Shigarish. The husband's. You don't need Kinoi as a way of solving this impossible situation because there's a different remedy to the situation. Let the husband commence a Gerush. Everybody see that? So the significance of Kinoi as either a Rishus or Chova. Really just depends on machlokas and daf tzadi, because daf tzadi determines whether kinui of sota is necessary to dissolve the union or to get rid of the suspicion. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, there's a much easier remedy. The remedy is to give a get. Okay, so those are three downstream effects of our sugya. Now, any comments or questions on this? I'm going to move us now to clarifying, refining a little bit the notion of Isha Ra Mitzvah Legarsha. That's where we left off in our discussion of yesterday. Our Gemara and Daf Tzadi. If the wife is Rochetzas in Bnei Adam, she's Rosh Akruma Mishnei Tzadeh, then Mitzvah Min HaTorah Legarsha. But I want to make the following observation. If you just had this Gemara, Mitzvah Legarsha, what would you say?
Yeah, you
could
do it.
Well,
you have to do it.
Yeah, you could say it. Mitzvah Legarsha. No? The Gemara says. But this Gemara, like all others, can sometimes be misleading. Because, or at least it seems as if, you have to read this Gemara against the other evidence that we have out there. Right? And here I just want to generalize this point more broadly.
Let's say you're learning Gittin, and you come across the last Mishnah. It says, Lo yigare shadim asish te'elim kein matzah b'ayir b'asdar. Beisham. Beisil also has a kiva tepshila. Rabbi Kiva says, Lefil matzah acharis na'ahim mena. You would think that the facts are as they appear. There are three views about when marriage could be dissolved. Correct? But then you find all these other statements. What do you find in addition to that?
Fine. So you have the Mishnah, and that's Sadi, that's great. Then you have the Gemara about Ziva Grishon. Fine, it's an important clarification, right? What else do you have?
The qualification of Aragon's priesthood.
Yeah, you definitely have qualification on the Mishnah and Daftzadi. Okay, but more like out of the Daftzadi.
Here's
the Nisuin, fine. That comes up in the Mishnah and Al-Jur and the Marishna. But more surprising things.
You've almost not given all that. For kinds of cases of Mitzvah and Raish.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Isha Ra, Mitzvah Ligarsha. Isha Ra, Mitzvah Ligarsha, where did that come from? Especially in the Yevamos discussion. Right, what's going on in Yevamos? Sorry,
yeah? Yeah, talk about different qualities of marriage, whether it's interpersonally, it seems, whether they have very good relationships or
Yeah, so the Gemara was talking about all these Amoraim complaining or whining or talking about
or appreciating
their marriages. And then the Gemara has a statement from Rabba, Amar Rabba, Isha Rab, Mitzvah Ligarsha. Isha Rab, Mitzvah Ligarsha. I just learned Gittin, and I know Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva. Where does the Isha Rab come from? And even if you want to, we have the same phrase in our sugi in Daftadi, Isha Rab Mitzvah Garsha. Kigon Zu Mitzvah Garsha, what's it referring to there? Some form of Erbas Davar, right? She's Rosha Ruma, whatever it is. But now we're told Isha Rab Mitzvah Garsha, the Zubamas.
Well, that's like a major qualification, right?
What is Isha Rab defined as in Zubamas?
So give us some context. What's going on in Yevamos Samach Gimel? So let's see. Hechidam Yisha Ra. So notice, this is Samach Gimel Mebeis, a little above this Gemara of Amar Rava. So Hechidam Yisha Ra. What's an example of an Yisha Ra? What's the definition? So let's see, Amar Abaye. Who prepared this Gemara? Rami?
Like serves the meal, but she also,
Yeah. Right, so I guess it spitefully serves him. It's not really clear, right? She gives him meals, but she's upset about it.
Or
Rabba Amar. Yeah. Yeah, I guess not respecting him in the right way, whatever it is. Okay. And the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Yishara, Mitzvah Lagarsha, Dichsiv, Garesh, Lates. This is the pasuk in Mishlei that when you separate yourself from elites, negative person or whatever it is, that will bring the conflict to an end. That'll put an end to the strife and the fighting. So when you read that pasuk, what does it sound like? It sounds like there's a mitzvah to commence a divorce in this case. Now, just to put an end to the kind of the friction and the fighting. That's the sense you get from the Gemara. And the valence of Mitzvah Ligarsha, we're told. Very, very strong language. And that gets picked up by the poskim. So you have the Shulchan Aruch in Kafutes, Yishara B'deosea, that's a fusing of the Sugya and Yevamos with the Sugya and Daftzadi. Everybody catch that? This is the Rambam's fusing of this. All the Nosakim are upset about it.
Rambam says mitzvah garsha. He cites garesh leitz. So here we're catapulted into the category of mitzvah, not just rishus, for seemingly almost, I wouldn't say benign, but things that don't seem to rise above Beis Hillel, of Hikdicha Tavshila. Yeah, we're told mitzvah lagarsha in this case. Now, doesn't that sound very strong, Kobe?
It sounds strong based on where they're getting it from.
Mitzvah.
They could say that.
Okay, mitzvah doesn't always mean mitzvah. I guess you could say like mitzvah.
Okay, maybe.
I would say that it definitely rings in just maybe not just advice. Right, but it definitely rings more in terms of like counsel.
Yeah.
It's a mitzvah to put fights to extinguish fire, right? To extinguish fights.
Right, I mean, it's almost like there's like a general thing of like don't be in a situation where you're like having fights. This is
one way to seize all the fighting. So we have here the Rav Minahar in his Perush Nivamos. Isha Ra, Perush, he bailas Nariva, and his Kotat has Tamid and Shechinosah. Notice, not even with her husband. She's just, the right word? Someone who's always spoiling for a fight? Pugnacious? Yeah, that. Yeah, she's always
provocative,
instigative, right?
What's the first word
you use? Pugnacious, like spoiling for a fight. So if she's always spoiling for a fight, so if you go into the mitzvah ra, because I guess that thought is like, why should you be caught up in the maelstrom of conflict. So yeah, if you separate yourself from the fighter, then you won't be caught up in the conflict. Yes? Rami, you had a thought on this? Okay. But I think this is a major rounding out to the impression you get from Daf Tzavi, from the Mishnayos, in my view. But then we see more. So let's some of you prepared. The Mishnayos in the seventh parak of Ksuvos. And we're introduced to the Mishnayos, seventh parak of Ksuvos, Daf Ayin Zayin. What are we told? Thus far, everything we've seen focuses on the wife. Isha Ra, Ervas Davar, she's Makdicha Tavshilo, she's not beautiful enough. And suddenly we have in Ksuvos, Daf Ayin Zayin, a whole different set of halachos. What are we told here? Zev?
He's got like a skin condition.
So tell us, Elu Kofin Oso
Lohotzi. Elu Kofin Oso Lohotzi, Elu Tishrim Bal Olipus,
So what are these cases? So these are, what does Elu Kofin Oso Lohotzi mean?
So these are the cases basically where we force him to divorce.
We'll force the husband to give a get.
So if he
just want to point out that itself is a major chiddush relative to what we've learned so far. Right? What do we know from the Rambam and from the Tnayim of Gittin? What's one of the main rules of a get? Yeah, it needs the husband's will, right? So let's go up. Haka. We'll get there. We don't know anything about Rotsani yet. We'll get to Rotsani. But we know that a get has to be given with the Ratzan of the Baal. Here. Rambam Gersh and Aleph, Eina Isha Miskaresh Selebich Sav, Asara Dvarim Hin Ikara Gershin, Shelo Yigare Shaish Ella Birtsono. That a Gershin, right, requires the Ratzon of the husband. And everything that we've seen in Gittin so far is about the fault with the wife when the husband wants to initiate divorce. But then when you get to this sugya in Ksuvis, suddenly we're told that there are cases of kfiya lagarish because of conditions in the husband. So Zev, tell us about those conditions.
Yes, he has shkin, he
has some sort of like a bad skin condition.
Right.
Like what's mitzarif nechoshes?
He's like a copper smith, I think, like he smells bad.
Yeah. Same for a bursi.
Yeah.
He's tanning
leather
hide, right?
Yeah.
And that also, it has a stench to it. So in these cases, now we have 2 days in the Mishnah. Is this only if he changed professions once they were married? Or is it true, even if the wife kind of knew this going in, but then she realized, Sabra Yisi Lekabel, V'achshav Ein Yechol Lekabel. She kind of just realized, oh, I thought I could tolerate this, but it turns out I can't. So what's going on here? What's going on? Seth?
I mean, basically, just simply, you know, we're adding qualifications like to the men's side of things.
That's definitely true. But what's the basis for this? Meaning what?
Woman, they're underlying like a suit of tanaim that, like, if they come into effect during the course of the marriage, then it's a kofel marriage.
So you want to say this is just like an assumed background condition of the marriage? Yeah,
yeah?
Okay. Benji?
Like a bakastel. Like a bakastel?
Yeah, we're not annulling. I mean, it doesn't sound like we're annulling. We're forcing the husband to give a...
Right, because that's just like the way that...
So why are we separating them here? Like, what's the... What are the grounds for the Beis Din inserting itself?
The woman married is no longer that guy. She married a non-smelling guy, or a guy...
Well, according to our mayor, it's even if she married him... Even if he stank at the wedding.
Yeah, but before she married a tolerable person, and now it's...
That's not a mechatel.
These are grounds for commencing a divorce, right? So yeah, I think mechatel is the wrong idiom.
Mechatel would be like if he was a tanner and she didn't know about it. But that's not the case here, according to the man.
But Benji, let's make it simpler, right? I'm saying, let's take her mayor that she knew about this. He still holds kofen lahotzi. So why are we kofen lahotzi here? Is there Erev HaSdavar? I mean, Ezra?
It could be that we're assuming that a case like this is going to lead to the marital strife situation we mentioned before, and so we're making the assumption this is what kind of happens. So we're going to get to a situation where it's definitively allowed, so we're just saying we can nip it in the bud at this point.
It's interesting. I hear the strategy. Why don't you want to say something simpler along the lines? Josh, what are you going to say?
I mean, I was just going to say it's more, you know, extra legal, meaning it might not be that there's, you know, specific reason for grounds for divorce, but we're trying to protect the woman because she has no way to leave this terrible situation. That's how I read it.
Oh, so Josh wants to say, look, this is kind of just to protect the woman. She doesn't want to be stuck in a union with this person who's physically repulsive to her. Yeah? Somebody agree with Josh is too simple? Ezra, you don't like it? Why don't you like it, Ezra?
I just think he's wrong.
I
don't, it's a classic Joshua to
read this. What does
that mean? Like, wow. It's helpful for the woman. I think the whole point is something at the woman's side. I think it's not a healthy marriage.
I agree you could read it that way. I think there are two ways to make sense to think about these sugyas and ksuvis. One is to say that there's some aspect of the marriage that's missing that justifies divorce. I don't say any of that here, per se, Ezra. So what if he's a Bursi? A Bursi can't be married? It seems to start with the kepeda of the woman that Savara Yisi Lekabel V'achshaveni Yechola.
Then why doesn't it discuss a case where if she is willing to keep it?
Well, yeah, that's definitely according to our mayor, if the woman's fine staying with the tanner, even tanners could be married, believe it or not. Right. Ezra would go and try to pry apart those marriages and say, like, no, none of the... If you're a member of the tanners union, like, you're committed to celibacy. Just the clergy and the tanners. But that's not what the Mishnah says, that it really depends on the woman, whether she could tolerate the husband. So look at the Shulchan Aruch for a second. Ebenezer Kufnun Dalid. Simon here is Lamisha Kofen Lahotzi Beget. So Sif Aleph. Take us, Benji, you want to take us through Sif Aleph here?
Sure. Elish Kofen Hotel.
This is on page 45 of this version.
Yeah, Elish Kofen Hotel Lahotzi. Elite to Mish Nola,
Breath Hapet. The husband got bad breath. Right? After they were married. Oh, Chotem. Just like another version of bad breath. Yeah. Bacteria colonized his nasal cavity. Oshachazar Lios Mikabit Soas Klavim. Okay. Does it? No, it's
not.
Yeah, or he went back to being like a coppersmith, right? Imratza. So it's up to her. If she wants, she could totally stay with her husband, right? That's at her discretion. Yeah, this is poskening against the... Yeah, but unless the woman consents, Elu Kofenos Elo to believe things of Bezin forces the husband to give a get in this case. Right? So I just want to point out, clearly the halacha recognizes that there are grounds for the woman to compel a divorce from her husband. That's not controversial, right? That's the Mishnayos in Ksuvos.
Is the divorce that she's getting here, this is something that I was wondering while reading the Mishnah, and I don't think Gemara addresses this. Is the divorce that she's getting here the same as the thing that happens when she gets a get?
Yeah.
Or is it like...
Yeah, they compel him to write a get.
Is that what happens? Bezdin compels him to write a get? Or
yep.
Does it just like get sent?
No. They compel him to give a get. We'll see that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not automatic.
That makes sense.
So my question is this just the same type of issue we saw in Daf Tzadi, just from the woman's perspective? Josh, no, why?
Maybe depending on whether you're like Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel, but it seems to me that this is more that because the woman is in a situation where she doesn't have the power to get out, we're more concerned about cases.
So you're trying to say, why is this kofen? Why do we suddenly go to kofen?
Yeah, because she doesn't have the power. Whereas the other side, meaning where we're trying to like find maybe at least when Beit Shammai, like problems in the marriage, where we're telling him to get divorced, but we're not concerned about his, if she's disgusting.
Yeah, it is striking that here we go straight to kofen osel lahotzi, but that's of course because the woman can't initiate a get. Right. So here the Bezdin steps in and says, "This marriage." But I guess what I'm wondering is the following. Is the best way to conceptualize this as, like, the marriage, along Ezra's lines, the marriage is no longer tenable? It's like there's no nisuin in this case because the woman is repulsed by her husband? Or is the thought more that, from like a pure Geirishin, Isha's perspective, like, everything's fine, it's a beautiful marriage. Right, then. But it would somehow be cruel to require the woman to, be intimate or serving somebody that she's repulsed by. That's kind of the... Now, you could say, well, once you hit two, then, like, there's some fundamental problem with the marriage. Not sure. Ned?
Yeah. You have a point here. Why should you depend on whether or not she
Say it again?
It's the point. At what point she has knowledge about this condition? It's highly relevant.
Unless it's just a several, you see, lekabel, vania full lekabel issue. Like, once you give your consent, once you waive the issue, are you stuck with that waiver forever, or could you revoke your waiver? Like, kind of like, once you give your consent to the mumim that he has, is that binding, or is that revocable? So you could read it that way.
I mean, even in that far, like, there's still also a major difference between, like, okay, I thought I'd be able to be mechabel, and, like, after 3 months, like, no, I can't. And, like, 10 years down the line where she just decides she can't, like, you've been married to him for 10 years. But even within the, like, past the, like, like, there's still something that, like, makes sense to me with the Nesvara. I'm like, okay, no, but then maybe it's that.
So your view is, what do you think is the best way to conceptualize this?
I'm not sure. I'm just within that sphere.
Of the sever use of the kabel?
I'm not sure.
You don't want to come down on a view?
No, just spoken to me really.
Okay. Zoldi?
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but based on the mission of another cope for the husband, it's only, like, you're not able to cope with the husband.
There definitely is a difference. I guess I'm wondering, if you think that Gittin is about, at a certain point, like, the marriage is no longer, like, there is no marriage to be saved along those lines, is the equivalent of that going on here in Ksuvis and Kufn and Dalet versus something along the lines of just, like, a Rachmanus for the wife? Does anybody see the difference in those two sides? Let me flesh it out a little further. Look at this sif. Nasa ish mukash shin. So the husband has some sort of skin condition. Kofenoso lahotzi v'liting ksuva. V'yachal pisha he wrote to leishev imo. So there's one case where we force the husband to give a get, even if the wife wants to remain with him. Right? Ein shomim la. El mafrisha nosam bal karcham. Mipnei shehi mimi kasa. Anybody understand what was going on here? Yeah, it's... Yeah, or, like, the harm is somehow...
There's no indication that it's because it's contagious. Because it's fleshy.
I think the point is also, like, yeah, it's like... there's, like, ongoing harm created by the union.
Yeah. Well, so, it seems like, a marriage is supposed to fulfill certain needs, and...
But look at this. But v'im amra eishev imo v'edim k'desh lo yavo alai shomim la. Like, you could have some sort of custodian that says, oh, well, sanction the marriage as long as there's no intimacy. What?
It's like,
yeah, she's mochel on the ona, because she says, eishev imo, right? One of the questions on my yadin bechina a few years ago was if the husband gets HIV... So would you force the divorce? Like, would you allow that? Is that a kofenos o lahotzi question? What's the answer? It's a good question. It depends. It was on this siman in Shulchan Aruch. The tests were written so long ago that I think it was before, like, HIV was curable. So I think the answer is one of those answers that change over time. Good stuff. But this is a very important question, right? Like, in virtue of what are we tearing apart this marriage? Bal karcham, right? By the Bez Din intervening. So maybe there are multiple things going on here. In the beginning of the siman, for this part, it seems to be about the wife is repulsed by the husband. But then we're told, oh, by the way, some medical concerns also, right? He mimikaso would also be reasons to break apart the union, right? Regardless of what the woman wants. Romy, you have a thought on this?
Yeah, I just think Akiva. The real problem that you're into is that neither of those things, neither of those ways of conceptualizing, they sort of do a good job of unifying the different demons that are really there. So why can't she divorce? Why are we not sure if, you know, we're coping, oh, so we're coping Lotzi in case of, what's it called, where he converts? Like, that seems like pretty, from the respect of the marriage, like, untenable, that seems pretty, like, that should be true. And the fact that she would, it would be harmful to her, it also seems like it should be true. There's a case of...
Like, do you need Poshea law as a justification?
Right, there's a question of whether or not, like, if she hits her, right?
Do you guys see this part? This one was very interesting. So Romy just mentioned this. There are 2 days in the Ramah about a misnaker. So what's a misnaker? It's like the husband chucked it. Right? He decided to no longer keep Judaism. So there's a question there whether you could force him to give a get adil b'dikul chavim, because presumably he's not going to listen to the Jews anyway. Aviyesh cholken v'omrim de'in kofen l'misnaker oshar over al das aleim kein poshei ala kigon shemachila dvar iser. So, like, is his ceasing to be observant itself grounds to compel a divorce, or does it require that he somehow wronged her by feeding her non-kosher food? Anybody see that? Or that he was violent towards her? Or he violates some sort of cheirim about not being violent towards her.
So, but the same thing, right? And then they talk about it in the next. About
you're skipping the Roa Zonos?
No,
I could just skip over the Roa Zonos. What's going on in the Roa Zonos? Here's another thing that comes up in Shulchan Aruch. Misho Roa Zonos, go ahead. Chavad Rav. Yes, so stop it. So what's that thought?
If he goes to prostitutes, you can divorce him.
Yeah.
You can force him to divorce.
I thought it was a good grant. Well, Roa Zonos, no, I think it's he's fielding. So Roa Zonos, I think it's a phrase that he's frequently visiting Zonos. So if we look at the notes of Kalim here. So there's a very interesting discussion. If the husband is a philanderer, is that the right phrase?
Yeah.
Right? Is that itself a reason to force him to divorce? Or is it specifically Roa Zonos? They might see that in the Nosa Kalim here. Philanderer is just that he's unfaithful to his wife. But that's different than somebody who frequently visits prostitutes. What's the difference? Yeah, the distinction is whether he's paying. It's almost as if you look at the Nosei Kelim here, you get the sense over here that he's spending away the money frivolously. Almost like somebody has a gambling addiction. Like, the grounds for divorce is not the sexual impropriety, it's the costliness of the conduct. Nobody saw this in the Nosei Kelim? Yeah? Okay, fine. It's all good.
But that's because...
Yeah, go ahead.
That to me, I mean, and then if you look at the next one, it's a game of things that are hitting her. And
wait, 1 second. So, could somebody pull up the notes of Kalim here on this Simon? It might be in the Pisrei Tshuva, Kofnan Dalet. It might be in the Pisrei Tshuva, which you probably won't have in Bar Ilan, but or in the Ber Hetev, but just check if you can. That's important because that's a very strange. I mean, if the husband is unresponsibly frittering away his savings, right? That's strange that that's grounds for that's kofenos elohotzi, right? Like, what type of rationale is that? Go ahead, Romy.
Well, yeah, but the other way is that of saying that is why is it not grounds for divorce? You know, independent of spending the money,
right?
So, I mean, and then you take it to the next. In the next, if we go there for a second.
Sif Gimel?
Yeah, so...
Abe, did you find this?
No, I was gonna...
Do you want me to...
Rebbe said, why would it be? It could be Rebbe. We've had this idea a couple times of like something showing that the marriage just no longer exists.
Yeah.
He's just running around irresponsibly spending their money, especially on something like this. But I
that's antithetical to the.
You can dig it deeper and really make it on anything. If he's irresponsibly spending their money on something that has nothing to do with the marriage,
it's like a betrayal of the marriage.
Right. She's not.
Okay, it's interesting.
It's a sin that their marriage no longer exists.
It's interesting. Although I would say, like, you might think that's true even if he's not spending money. Right, let's say
right.
So this will turn on, like, is it specifically Roazonos, like when like he's paying compensation? As did you pull it up or?
Yeah, do you want to look at it or?
No, just tell me.
I'll say what specific thing you want to be saying about.
Yeah, so it's not very naked.
There we go. Okay. What do you have, Zakaria? Tell us.
Should I read it out loud?
Yeah, read it out loud. It's great.
Ruin Shabal Ishish. So actually that is not grounds for via. The lav damka laroa zonos, the mosakam only the merdo. So there's
it's a little different.
Features of Rosone. One is that he's it's kind of a continual habit, and it's a continual merit. And the roi zonos yave hon the sukkah lo yav yagel parnaso.
There you go. That's the second. Yeah, that's the second leg of the argument, right? So one is like there's this difference between the so it's like muchza, he's muchzak, it's ongoing, and he's frittering away the estate so that he's not spending the money on her. No. Yeah, very interesting. So that's in the Berhitiv?
Yeah, I'll send the.
Yeah, that's great. Good. Romy, back to you.
Yeah, whatever. So I just think that maybe whatever, then you look at the next one and talks about him.
He did serve. So take us to Siv Gimel, Omer, he's on
Benny Mefarnes. Right,
so the husband's bankrupt. He can't provide for his wife anymore. And he doesn't want to work.
Right.
Yeah, it's at the wife's discretion to force the husband to give a get.
Right. Which that is tough enough. That's fine. But you get later, right, when you're hitting her.
Tell us the Rama, v'cheinish. So, talking about elliptical justification, right? The point is the husband who's always angry, and he throws his wife out onto the street. Right?
Well, the problem because he's not feeding her.
Right, so there you could compel a get because the husband is not providing her with mizonos in the way that he's obligated to. So there's some sort of breach of his obligations to her.
Right, and then there is.
So some people say in that case, a violent husband, that's grounds for compelling a divorce also.
I guess, to me, all the Yesh Omrims are like confusing. If this is about, and maybe you don't want to do that, I don't think you're going that way, but if it's about either of the models that you set up, you know, that.
What's the deal?
What?
Yeah, go ahead.
Either from the perspective of the woman can opt out, or from the perspective of like the marriage itself, it's hard to say that either of those unify all these different principles here, unless you really radically redefine what the institution of marriage is about, or.
Fair enough. You're saying there's not enough similarity here across the various dinim to suggest a single theory for these? Is that your point?
At least either of those two seem to be anything.
Okay, so what do you have instead for us? Are you here Laharos or Livnos? Yes, that's true. So what do we have? So how do you divide these into categories? We have like a range of examples here now. Do they fall into different categories at least, or are they all the same? Eitan, are they all the same?
Sorry.
You think they're all the same? What?
Yeah.
They're all the same? What are they all the same? What? These are all cases where what?
What the husband can force the wife.
Not can, where he's off. Bezin will force them to divorce.
Yeah, in some cases the wife can stay or she wants to or not.
Right, but I'm saying what are the grounds? So we have, let's say,
Re'ach HaPeh as one type. So the wife is like disgusted with him, that's one type. I don't think the husband's done anything wrong in that case, arguably. Right? What? Then you have cases, what's the next major category?
The job of occupation.
Yeah, well, I think that fits. I don't think the husband's doing anything wrong by being a horsey. Right? Horsey, sorry. It's like there's a. Like Dwight is repulsed. What do you have the next category?
When he fails to fulfill his marital obligations.
Yeah. I think Eno's son, right, he's not giving his onos. So there's some sort he's not upholding his marital responsibilities as like a real breach of his obligations to her. What else do you have?
The medical thing.
Yeah, I think the refua is for a muka shkin, right? Muka Shchin is a little tricky because according to one view, we're going to compel divorce even if the wife doesn't want to. So we'll say Nega Ritzona. I think Roez Zonos is also an interesting category to put on its own, right? So we have a whole range of grounds where the wife could compel divorce from the husband. Abe?
I think you can unify them all under the banner of like failure of mechanics and requiring of marriage, namely shakso enough. That like he's not meeting some of these in almost all of those cases, he's not meeting this like basic requirement.
True. I mean, like
the requirement to meet her needs in some way.
Yeah.
Whether or not she's upset by that. There's like that basic requirement.
You could say that. You could say these are all kind of like a breach of the husband's responsibilities to his wife. That would be like a very contractual way of looking at it. It's like there's chiyuvei ksuva and the husband is not upholding the chiyuvei ksuva, so kofen lahotzi. So then, if that's the argument, then I want to know.
Is part of the chiyuvei.
I just want to know then, are the grounds for divorce. Are the grounds for a kofen abal ligaresh conceptually different from the grounds that justify the husband giving a get? Like, so put aside like the caterus paribus issue of the husband can give a get when he wants and the wife needs bezdin to force the husband to give it, right? But let's surmount that. Are the things that justify dissolving the marriage from the wife's petition different from the things that justify dissolving the marriage from the husband's ratzon, etc.? Right, so now that we know that the solution to this exists and that there's this whole wife-initiated dissolution of the marriage, are they different grounds?
So certainly Beis Shammai could be read as she's not meeting her basic requirements. Even Beis Hillel could be read that way, but definitely not Rabbi Akiva.
Right, so you might say maybe like, you could say, I suppose you could say that we saw this in Samefarshim. The wife is obligated to cook for her husband, and if she's mafshila tavshila, if she's hicha tavshila, then she's like breaching her responsibility, right? And that's like symmetry to the husband not providing for her, something like that. And similarly for Beis Shammai, maybe the wife's only real like marital obligation is to not be adulterous, something like that. And that's like when she's adulterous, that's when she breaks her responsibility or. Something like that, that's what you're suggesting. Okay.
How does that work with Tichat Avshila?
You take Tichat Avshila, a wife who's a Nesua, this came up in the Nesua versus Eirusin discussion. She's Mechuyeves to, cook for the husband, let's say.
Are you saying the same thing, that is only would apply to Eirusin?
What?
If you're saying the wife's only obligation is.
Yeah, that's something Farshim explained it, right? I think, and the Miri said that. Yeah, she's not Osig and Sarchei Abayis, right? Which we'll assume was her chiv, like under the marital allocation of responsibility. So I think the question is, when we talk about what justifies divorce, and we'll just assume that Kfiya is the mirror of Leigari Shalem Kanela, because we invest in. One, we want to know, are these the same or are they different? That's kind of the question I want to know. I don't think we have enough traction to answer that question today, but it's a critical question. Okay? Yeah, and there are marriage types of answers, like when is the marriage considered done? And then there's the personal, right? Like at what point is it not right to keep the person locked in this bad environment? Okay? Daniel?
It's also the mechanism of how that's also a very big part of it. It's like the nature of the mechanism.
The nature of the mechanism of?
Of divorce, of Jewish divorce. So, that plays a big role in how you differentiate between the wife and the husband.
For sure, meaning that one, the husband could divorce at his ratzon, I mean.
But beyond just the ratzon, it's also like examples of, like, I guess that's kind of mentioned before, but like, just like, based on how the difference in the Mishnah are that, like, one is like a momentary.
Yes, like you were saying before.
Right. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, in activity they seem to be different. The question is, do they point to some conceptual major difference? Right?
Yeah, I'm saying that even if, let's say, they are the same. Even conceptually they are exactly the same, I think the fact that they have a very different activity.
Suggest that they're different.
Yeah,
but I think I could hear somebody responding and saying, well, different activities just get at the same thing.
I don't think
it's necessarily true either, I'm saying, but I could see somebody saying that Ervas Davar for the wife once is the equivalent of the husband being Roa Zona. And I don't endorse that, but I could see somebody making that case. Right? Or Bicha Tachilo or Sinna, let's say, is the equivalent of Reach HaPeah. Maybe. But I think you're right. I think Daniel's right that the language of the Mishnayos just seems to be so different. Right? I think we agree at that level. Right? It seems to be saying different things. Whether that speaks to something conceptually different, I think it's an open question, so I don't want to prejudge that answer. Okay? Everybody with me? Good. So let's look at something else related to this. Kufnin Dalit Tess, one more case. What's going on in Kufnin Dalit Tess? Another grounds for divorce. Tani, what's this about? Or he's like an outlaw. He's on the run from the authorities, right? And his wife doesn't want to have to flee with him. No, she doesn't want to. She doesn't want to travel with him. So let's say America's got a search warrant for him, and he wants to flee to Switzerland. And the wife doesn't want to go to Switzerland. She's perfectly happy here in America, speaking English. So that's kovanos oligarcha. That's grounds for divorce. Would you have thought that the wife has a duty to travel along with her husband?
I mean, it's just interesting that when the husband runs away, he's not. We don't like. We consider him gone.
It's what?
A great
way to what?
It's not, no, my point is it's not separate.
I want to say, yeah, comment on the aguna thing. But it just seems very clear, by the way, that from the Gemaras, you don't really have an aguna problem because they would beat the guy. They would really beat the guy up.
They would kofin him, but he's supposed to give it to him.
Yeah, they would kofin. The question is...
it only applies in circumstances in which they allow it.
Yeah, wherever kfiyah is allowed. He is allowed in most. I mean, there is a machlokas.
There's
machlokas at most allowed. Do you guys see this major machlokas came up last year? Also, how liberal are we on these issues? So here's the im amra. So Rambam Mishas Yedal Ches. Tell us about Yedal Ches. This is the controversial case of kofin lahotzi. What's moyas alai, Romy? Yeah. So let's read the Rambam's formulation. It's a very nice formulation here.
So,
yeah, the woman just says, Ma'astihu, he's repugnant to me. Right, I'm repulsed by him, and I can't have relations with him. Midati, meaning like volitionally or willingly. So then we force the husband to give a get. Why? Because the wife shouldn't be like a captive who's forced to have relations with somebody that she hates. So this seems to be a pretty broad justification for why we're kofin lahotzi. I to me that rings in the personal. No?
Well,
it could go either way. You could say that's now marriage, right? Marriage shouldn't be.
If you hate each other in a marriage,
it's not a good marriage. I don't know if she hates him. Like, he does say Sanoila. I don't know why Sanoila got put in there.
But he
maybe she loves him, but she just finds him repugnant. Is that not conceptual?
I mean, still?
Yeah.
You're going to resent somebody if you find it disgusting to be around.
Maybe.
Could not every personal issue be reflective of a marriage that, let's say, he smells bad? If he's not taking care of that, and yeah, maybe from his job. In fact,
according to Yaakov Kamenetsky, yes, right, for sure. Right, if you don't think that your spouse is the Yoser Chacham Yoser, right, then so yes, I agree. It's kind of very hard to distinguish. To my mind, the phrase She'ena Kishvuya Shetibol L'Sanuila sounds almost like this woman's got to be saved, but maybe not. Okay, so this is the issue of Mas. Rambam is very liberal. All the woman has to say is that the husband is disgusting, and then Bezin steps in and compels a divorce. Other Rishonim don't like that. You see, this is 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch. Simin Kufnin Dalet Chaf Aleph. Kol Eilu Shomer Lahotzi Kofin Afilu B'Shotim. Sorry, I don't have it here in the Shulchan Aruch. This is... I don't know. This view of the Rambam is very controversial. Whether we'll force a get for Mos Alai. Did anybody see the disagreement about this?
Well, that came up last year when we were talking about the town.
That was the Ram, the Tshuva of the Ram, yeah. The town that says they paskin like the Rambam, but nobody else paskins like the Rambam and Mos Alai. Ben, do you remember this? The guy who forced the woman to marry him. But it was a town where they accept all the Rambam's psakim. So the question is, if all the poskim disagree with the Rambam, does the town still have the right? And then they would force this guy to divorce her under this theory. But most poskim disagree with this. But according to the Rambam, it's really this easy. It's just all the wife has to say is that he's repugnant.
Okay. How do you hold in a
Say again?
It's not away from the classes in that time.
Okay. Let me get one other sheet out here, the Rabbeinu Yerucham. This is a very striking view. To my mind, this is even less than Ma'os Alai in the Rambam. He says, Rabbeinu Yerucham Mishnah is one of the major late Rishonim. Rabbeinu Yerucham Mesharim. He says, Kasav Mori Harav or Babram Ben Ismail, I guess. Kinirlo, Sheisha Sha'amra Loba Inale, Itain Li Get Viksav. A woman just says, I don't want to be married. Right? I don't know. To me, that sounds even weaker than Ma'os Alai. She doesn't have to say that the husband is repugnant. She just doesn't want to be married. But who Omer, Ana Nami Loba Inalach, Aval Eini Rotzel Itain Get. The husband says, I don't want to be married, but I don't want to give you a get either. So he says, Meshahinam la tracer yarche agita, dilma hadribu, la charshana kofanos oligarish. You kind of give them a year to see if they'll sort things out. Maybe they'll reverse their decision. But after a year, you force them to divorce. So what's striking about this is that the basis of the action is very minimal. Right? There's no extraordinary claim here of wrongdoing. There's no claim of wrongdoing. There's no claim of repugnance. There's no claim of bad act. Like, it's a little bit, you know, like I'm no longer interested in being married on the wife's side. So he says, and if the husband kind of acknowledges that, give them a year, and then you compel a divorce. So it's much weaker than any of these things, no?
This is the case of the
Greek.
This is the case of the husband also, who doesn't want to marry her.
Okay. So it's less dramatic, like imposing on him.
I mean, it's not a lower standard because it's not her claiming, I don't want to be with you, and that's enough.
Okay. Because he acknowledges Loba Yinalach.
I think it's more than invalid. I think Nami Loba Yinalach is not acknowledging Loba
Yinalach. Yeah. This Rabbeinu Yerucham gets cited very often. Because it basically says that when both parties acknowledge that the marriage is over, right, you have some waiting time, but then you force a get. That's why it's a very important shita. Right? Like the husband says, I don't want to give a get, but he kind of acknowledges, though, he has no interest in continuing with the marriage. So, the interesting question here is, like, why are you waiting for a year? What's the waiting time? Well, yeah. Hey, cool down. Yeah, give them some time to consider whether it's right. But I think another way of thinking about it is that the year of separation in conjunction with both parties acknowledging that they are not really interested in being married itself, not even a raya, it makes it the case that there's less of a union, right? Like, there's no desire on either side to be married. They haven't, there's kind of this year where they've been in this situation of not desiring the marriage. And then, like, there really is no nesu, the argument, there really is no meaningful nesuin at that point. Right?
Well, but they could be living together.
They might be. They might be living together. Probably not meaningfully so, right? But you might say a kind of a year of not wanting to be married, but stuck in the same house. That's kind of at that point, there's like a end to the nesuin, arguably. Well, the more so, they're separated, but. But again, the point here is kofen oso legaresh, even though her claim, Romy reminds us, and his claim too, is just lo ba'ina. Like, there's no interest. Okay, so I just want to point out, we've come a very long way from Yiddin. There's like all these things out there that justify tearing apart the marriage. It's really the, to my mind, it's shocking that the Mishnayos break these up. Like, you might think the Mishnayos should just have one Mishnah and tell me, like, when's the marriage, or like, when, instead you get a little bit of Gittin, a little bit of Sivis. It's a mystery to me why it's separated. Obviously, one's mitzad the wife, one's mitzad the husband. It is a bit of a mystery. Anybody have the answer? Benji, you have the answer?
Maybe I didn't feel that sure. So, like, because these things are, well, maybe the things are more like the reasons behind that. Oh, and by the way, you have to, like, force him to write a shtar. It's like the side point. As in getting the main thing is the shtar itself, and that's why it only mentions it on the very last dot. The possibility of.
I don't know.
Or it could actually effectuate
maybe. Maybe, I don't know. Here. We should think about it. We should think about it a little more. Kiva?
Maybe like an easy confusion. Like this is like the this is verb formation, no? Yes.
So Exhibits?
Yeah, no, Githim. You're talking about a spread out. So like Githim is now its meaning confusion.
It's still no, it's objectively weird, no? It's kinda it's strange, like why one's in Exhibits and one's in even the Rambam splits up these things, one in Gerushin and one in Ishos. Right? It's like Isha Ra Mitzvah Garsha and Gerushin and Kofin Osoligarish, those are, I think, in Hilchos Ishus, if I'm not mistaken. Double check that. I'm pretty sure the Rambam has those in the Ksivis ones in Hilchos Ishus. Like here, Gedalid. It's in Ishus. So maybe like the Rambam really thinks there are two separate things going on here. Like two different types of justifications. So I want us to think about that. But I want to add one more thing to the picture very quickly. So who's been missing from this picture?
Should
be Barbanel. Yeah, well, Barbanel's missing. But who?
The kids,
right? What about the children? So if you asked me, I would say the children are really absent from the halachic discussion, if you asked me. They get one en passant, very Derech Agav mentioned. It's not really clear what they're doing there. It's machlokas. But this is a remarkable case where Poskim really seize on that discussion. So what's going on in Erevin Mem Aleph? Three people are saved from Genhenim. If you have Dikduki Anios, Choli Me'ayin, Roshus. And some people say even if you have an Isha Ra, you're saved from Genhenim. That's what's the... But then the more so, why doesn't everybody agree that the Yisurin of an Isha Ra save you from Gehenna? So, V'idach Isha Ra mitzvah l'garsha. So the answer is no, because if you have an Isha Ra, you shouldn't be suffering. You should just commence a divorce action. So there's no reason to suffer. So, yeah, that's a good answer, right? So what were we thinking when we said that a person with Isha Ra is saved from Gehenna. V'idach zimnin d'chsuvasa meruba inami isle banim mina v'lo matzi megarish la. What's the statement mean? Well, there's sometimes when you're stuck in a bad marriage with an Isha Ra. Why?
Kids.
Either because you can't afford to pay the ksiva, you can't afford divorce, or because there are children. Now, I want to point out, the phrase lo matzi megarish la is ambiguous. What is it ambiguous between?
Whether it's a case of those where you're not able to do it, or there's something that's under it.
Does it mean, well, it's definitely ambiguous. It is ambiguous. Lomatsi could mean you're not able to. That'd be very radical.
Or
if you weren't allowed, it'd be a big problem for anyone who's divorced with children.
Yeah, it could either be like you're not able to do it practically, or you shouldn't do it, meaning it's not a mitzvah in that case.
Yeah, it could just be practical point, right? It's sometimes very practically difficult to separate when children still have to go to school, right? Or it can mean that as a normative matter of halacha, it's wrong to commence a divorce when there are children. Everybody see that? Josh, you...
Yeah, I mean, I would say just from the simple reading, like, oh, it's, you know, too expensive to get divorced if you have kids. So I don't think it's like a halachic statement.
Yeah, I think that's the pashup shot, right? I think the pashup shot is for sure that's like a practical point. And that's if you saw some of the poskim here say that. So just like an ksuva case, it's not like if the ksuva is so expensive then you ought not get divorced. No, it's prudential counsel. But then just Well,
I mean, not even counsel.
Sorry, it's a prudent. It's a statement of fact of human psychology. Yes. What's the circumstance for someone who would be stuck in a bad relationship, even though they can get divorced? The answer is that it's difficult for them to get divorced because of the Islay bonding. Yes. Okay, that's what I would have said. And if that's true, then the children don't get any mention in the list of when a person should get divorced. They don't bear on that consideration on Josh's reading. But there's a whole list of poskim and mefarshim, beginning with the Yaivates, who read the Gemara differently. And they read this Gemara as making a normative statement that if there's islay banimina, lo matzi megarishla, either that vitiates the mitzvah, or it's almost like zibosheni, where it requires a higher justification. Like the zibosheni and zibosheni distinction. That this now makes the ground for divorce much more difficult to meet. So now we have something else added to this discussion here. Not just the sugyas in Gedin, not just the sugya in Yivamos of Isham Ram, b'midoseh mitzvah l'karsha, not simply the sugya in Ksuvis about Kofanos Elohotzi, but we now have Erevin, Mem Aleph, complicating things about Bonim. Now maybe that bears on when divorce could be enforced or justified. This is actually a much more complicated picture, but I want to do it next year because I want us to look very carefully at the arguments for Erevin and Aleph, and to come back to this paradigm. If it's the case that Bunyan bear on the normative justification for propriety of enhancing a divorce, not just whether it's practically feasible, like Josh was saying, why would that be? Why would that be? Would that be out of personal consideration for the children? Or is that somehow related to marriage? So here I think it's a little more straightforward. Right? Because I think the natural intuition is to say, well, duh, it's about parties external to the marriage. So, right, it's like just clearly personal consideration about the... What?
That was not my intuition.
That's not your intuition? Well, at least it's here. It's a little easier to separate the two sudden with the hakira, right? Because the children seem to be a little more less part of the marriage. No? Well?
They're unified in their...
Ah, okay. You guys are such lamdanim already. So. Okay, well, let's think about this here, and we'll pick up a shiur on Thursday. Okay, shkayach, everybody.